Say, I choose to maintain my joy in the midst of any challenge of life. The Bible says that the peace of God will guard your heart. But that's not all it will guard. Because God knows that you are an emotional being. It will guard your heart and what? And your mind. Hallelujah. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the opportunity we have to fellowship with believers and to feed on your word. Bible says that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. So as we go into your word today, we ask that you speak to us. We ask that you enlighten our understanding. We ask that you bring us to a place where we can move forward spiritually. We ask that, Lord, through your word today, we will be transformed so that we can bear more fruit that will bring you glory. In Jesus' name, amen. And the church said, okay, so for 2 weeks we've been looking at John 15. And today we're going to complete that study into John chapter 15, verse 1 to 10. And so normally I should have titled this sermon, Stay Connected, Stay Actively Connected, Part 3. But just to keep the message more focused, I've titled it, The Importance of Fruit Bearing. Can we say that together? The Importance of Fruit Bearing. So go to John 15, and we'll just go through this line by line, little by little, for you to get the principles of bearing fruit for Christ. So let me just do a quick recap. You know, we have been looking at bearing fruit for Christ, and we said that to bear fruit for Christ means to do the works of Christ. To bear fruit for Christ means that if Jesus is the vine or the stem and we are the branches, the fruit of the stem or the vine appears on the branches. Have you ever seen fruit appearing on the stem? On the branches. But the fruit that the branch bears is not fruit of itself. It's not fruit of what the branch just doesn't decide that I'm going to do whatever I like. I'm going to bear whatever fruit I like. You have an orange tree and the branch says, no, I'm going to bring forth grapes. It can't. Why? Because the life in the branch comes from the sap that flows from the stem. If that branch is disconnected, it will not bear fruit. If it's connected, but it's partially connected, it will not bear good quality or good quantity of fruit. So the branch needs to be joined to the vine, and if you're a true believer in Christ, you're already joined to Christ. But being joined is not enough. It needs to be actively connected so that the sap can flow. If there's any blockage, that branch will not be healthy and it will not bear fruit. Or if it does, it will bear poor quality or poor quantity of fruit. So John 15 verse 1 says, Jesus says, I am the vine. I'm the stem. I'm the tree. But you are what? You are the branches. Abide in me. Remember I said, abide here is not talking about being joined to Christ. You're already joined to Christ to be called a branch. So to abide is to stay actively connected. He said, without me, you can do what? Do nothing. So you see, Christianity is not a tag, a badge you carry around and say, well, you know, I believe in Jesus. I got born again. I'm a Christian. And that's it. I have my passport to heaven. No, no, no. It's a living faith. It's continuous. It's something that you live daily. You cannot say, oh, I was a Christian 10 years ago, so I'm still a Christian. No. Your Christianity is measured daily. And you can stop being a Christian. How? How can you stop being a Christian? Tell me how you can stop being a Christian. Anyone? Not for you. How can someone stop being a Christian? They got born again 10 years ago. They filled with the Holy Spirit. They loved God 10 years ago. Does that mean they are still a Christian today? How can you know they're a Christian today? Sorry. say it. I like
if
the
they're actively connected.
If they're actively connected, yes. Any other way you want to say that? By their fruit. Any other way you want to say that? They must be connected. The fact that you bought a new TV and you plugged it into the socket does not mean it's always on. If the switch is off, you get nothing. The switch may be on, but it may be in standby mode. You get nothing to watch. Amen? It's your connection. If the connection is broken, the life is cut. Are you following me? And that's why I said that. Remain in me. Stay connected. The life will flow. You will bear fruit. Hallelujah. And just to remind us, we've covered this before. How do we abide in Christ? How do we stay actively connected? If you told me that from John 15, if it's just John 15 alone, I will show you at least two things that you need to do. Look at John 15 verse 4. John 15 verse 4. John 15 verse 4. What does it say? John 15 verse 4. 5. John 15 verse 5. Yes, who is ready? Yes? John 15, 5.
I am the vine. Let me put it. Branches.
Yes.
If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing.
Amen. 6.
If anyone does not remain in me, he is like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire and burned.
7.
If you remain in me, and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish, and I will be given, and it will be given, and it will be given you.
Amen. So how can you be sure that you are remaining in him? According to verse 7, if you are remaining in him, if you are actively connected, what will happen? Verse 7. Sorry? Yes, but don't look at from the result, look at from the process. So if you are actively remaining in verse 7, yeah, what will happen to you? Yeah, that's the result. Before, you're skipping. Read again.
If you remain in me.
Yes, what will happen?
And my words remain in you.
His words will remain in you. That's the intermediate step. You know, I can always come to them and say, oh, are you actively connected? I say, yes. How do you know? Of course, the end result is that you produce fruit. But in the intermediate result of what you do to abide in him is that his words have to abide in you. So to abide in Christ means I must abide in his word. Then I produce fruit. Amen? You know, Jesus himself is called what? The word of God. Amen. Now, what does it mean to abide in his word? How do you abide in his word? I'm looking for two keywords. Yes? See, I'm asking questions because I'm helping you to engage. We cover this. This is not a new sermon. I'm just revising what we've done before. To abide in his word. Yeah? What are two keywords you need? Now, think about it. The focus here is the word of God. When you want to engage the word of God, what is the right attitude? Study, yes, but what about professors? There are some professors at uni that study the Bible and they don't believe. It isn't academic. In fact, most of them. It's just academic criticism. Higher criticism. What do you need to engage well with the word of God to produce fruit? I heard it. What? Meditate, yes, but I'm looking for the key word. What? Faith! It's faith. If you don't mix the word of God with faith, it doesn't produce result. You can hear it. Faith comes by hearing. But you must engage and believe. Romans 10, verse 9, says, for with the heart, man believes. And while we're there, I just want to say, you know, I remember a friend I met at the barbering salon. He was like, oh, we are the scientists. Well, I'm a scientist, actually. I mean, we know what we know. We don't need faith. You don't need to be a Christian to use faith. Every conviction you have in life is something you believe. Every value you hold is something you believe. Whether you believe a Christian or not, you for example, if you have children, you will try to pass on your values to them. But why is it that you have these values and somebody else owes another value? It's a choice. Faith is a choice. Every conviction, you chose it. You received information. We can all receive information now. Then we go off and choose whether we believe what we received or not. You can receive information that has a lot of facts and still refuse to believe it. There are people in this country that don't believe that coronavirus is real. It's a choice. Faith is a choice. So there is nothing like, I know. You don't know anything. You believe information. That's what you call knowledge. You believe information. So, but he said, I know. I tested it myself. Yes. But you tested it. Your sense organs were giving you information. Yeah? So, for example, if I say this is black. Yeah? My eyes told me it's black. But what if I was wearing, sunglasses? Or something in my eyes that has changed the color. And I'm not aware that I'm wearing that. I will say that I know it's black. But actually, that is because I believe the information that my eyes gave me. So you're always receiving information. You have to make a judgment whether that information is reliable or not. When you decide that an information is reliable, you believe it and you form a conviction. That is faith. Now, spiritually, you have to make a judgment and decide, based on the information you've received about God, that God is for real. Someone else can receive the same information and say, no, I don't believe. Someone say, come to me and prove to me that God is real without the Bible. We can do that based on our other experiences. But I tell you something, when someone says, I tell them no, I will not take that. It's like telling me to go to court and prove that someone is guilty without any evidence. The Bible is the book of evidence. This Bible contains what God has done over thousands of years in the life of real people. Real people. So when someone comes to you and says, look, remove the Bible. They're telling you, throw away every written record that God is real. Don't accept it. It's like someone saying, tell me about Winston Churchill without any history books. If I can see Winston Churchill now, I will believe that it's real. Would that be sufficient? No. The books. What is written is evidence. Can you just say what is written? It's evidence. That's what applies in our society. From law court to government to schools. Most of the information, most of the things you know today, you read them from a book. Or from a teacher. But you accepted it as true because you thought, oh, whoever is giving this information is reliable. Are you with me? And some of the information you are reading from the books are not true anyway. Because no one was there. You talk about evolution. It has never been tested. It has never been proved. It has never been experienced. But it's in the book. Somebody believes it. And they tell you not to believe the word of God. To abide in his word means you believe his word. Now I'm taking the next level. You don't truly believe anything you cannot practicalize. If I believe your name is Kevin, I will call you what? I won't call you Gary. Are you with me? I won't call you Pinky. And if I did, and you believe that your name is Kevin, will you answer me? When you truly believe the word of God, you obey it. So, to abide in his word means faith and obedience. They are the same side, two sides of the same coin. The only difference is that faith comes before what? Obedience. If you are obeying God without believing in him, you are just being religious. Yeah? If you are believing God without obeying him, yeah, you are being unfaithful. Faith and obedience means that I'm abiding in his word. Now let me show you the other side of abiding in his word. The other way you abide. John chapter 15. Let's look at verse 9 and 10. If you are feeling cold, just put on your jacket. So we don't want to close the windows fully because of ventilation. But yeah, just bear with us. It's winter season. John 15, are you there with me? Verse 9 and 10. I have some favorite readers. How do you abide? How do you stay actively connected? I said two key things. His word. And verse 9 and 10. Yes, who would like to read? Yes.
Go on.
I have you.
I have loved you even as the Father has loved me. Remain in my love. When you obey my commandments, you remain in my love, just as I obey my Father's commandments and remain in his love.
Amen. So, to abide in Christ, to be actively connected to Christ, we know you are joined to him already because you believed in him, you are born again. But to be actively connected, you need to abide in his word, which means faith and obedience. Then you need to abide in what? What else? Remain in what? What does it tell you to remain in verse 9? In my love. Remain where? In my love. Let me explain that. You see, it's not enough to know the truth. That truth must, in your life, must operate on the foundation of love. You see, why did Jesus come to the world? He said, for God so loved the world, then that's why he came. Why did he come? Because God so loved the world. Amen? He came so that, what? That whosoever, what? Believes in him. Nobody is predestined to go to hell. It's impossible. It's inconsistent with the character of God. God is not willing that any should perish. If anybody went to hell, they chose it by rejecting God. You with me? Rejecting what God has given you is a choice. Faith is a choice. The faith of a parent cannot save a child eternally. It can cover them, but they need to make their choice. So nobody went to hell because God did not like them. Yeah? They go because they what? They refuse. They say, you know what? I'm good on my own. The problem with that is that on your own, you own nothing. Not even your life. Your life is a gift. Your talents, they are gifts. Your smartness is a gift. Your beauty is a gift. I don't even know what you own. Yeah? Oh, say, but I worked that for it. Your energy is a gift. Your brain is a gift. You own nothing. It's the benevolence, the goodness of God that makes life possible. So when you say, God, you know what? I'm okay on my own. The problem is that you're kicking God out, but you're making use of everything he gave you. For you to actually kick God out, you need to release everything. And when you release everything God gave you, all that remains is hell. Amen? Because he's the creator and he's the owner. Hallelujah. So, but God is love. Say it with me. Say, God is what? is love. That's why he gave his only son. But I want to go deeper into love. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, he says, if I speak in the tongues of men and angels, if I have faith that I can move mountains, even if I give my body to be burned, but I don't have love, what am I? I'm nothing. Does that connect back to John 15 that says, without me, you can do what? You can do things, but they are just a waste. You are an empty barrel. Even if you are the best preacher, but you don't have love, you are what? You are nothing. So to abide in Christ, I must abide where? In his love. Hallelujah. Let me just relate that with how we relate with people. You need to understand that everybody in this world, whether they're the best behaved or the worst behaved, whether they are the most civilized or uncivilized, God still loves them. Now, it doesn't mean they will all go to heaven, but he loves them. He gives them a fair chance to the very last moment. Even if Hitler repents on his deathbed, God will save him. Because he saved the murderer at the cross. So, how can you say that you love God, whom you have not seen? You have seen him spiritually, in my spirit. You see, I will go there. I'll go to that level. But now, physically, when you say you have not seen God, we're talking about physically. But you can see God spiritually. Someone say, oh, how can you worship God? I see him every day. I feel him every day. He talks to me. I talk to him. I do things for him. He does things for me. It's as real as any other person. Sometimes God is even more real to me than the people beside me. Because you can be in a crowd where nobody knows you. You see them. But they don't care about you. They're not doing anything for you. But God that I'm not seeing physically, I'm experiencing him. Yeah? Daily. So who is more real to me? The crowd? Or the one I'm experiencing? Is the one I'm experiencing. Amen? So you cannot say that you love God, whom you have not seen physically. And yet you cannot love people. Because remember, he made them. And he doesn't want them to perish. But that everyone will come to what? Repentance. Amen. So in our walk with people, abiding in Christ means you set into your heart. If I love God, it means I love people. I may not like what they are doing. And I tell you something. You don't have to be politically correct. If you don't like someone, what someone is doing, you can tell them you don't like what they're doing. But remember to tell them that you love them. Amen. The fact that God loves you does not mean he likes what you are doing. That's why he said that the next step to remaining in his love is to obey what? His command. You see, to please God, you need to do his will. But for God to love you, you don't need to do anything. He made you. There's no good manufacturer that does not believe in the success of their product. You are his product. And he wants you to succeed. So just say, God wants me to succeed. Because he made you. And nobody knows you better than your manufacturer. Not your parents. I'm sure you agree with that. They thought they knew you, but now you're not. Not your spouse. They try. By the way, if you're married, your greatest assignment in life is to understand your spouse. If you understand them, you can have a good relationship. Let me just emphasize what I'm saying. If you're married or in a relationship, it's not your greatest assignment is not to change your spouse. Your greatest assignment is what? To understand them. If you understand them, they will change. It may take time. Because the greatest need of a human being, do you know the greatest need of a human being? What's the greatest need of a human being? Someone sent me and said, you know, how can you give to God when you've not even had food in your stomach? And sometimes you feel like your greatest need is what? Food, isn't it? But what Jesus said, man shall not live by what? No. Just think about your life and people you've met and everything. When people are behaving funny or what are they looking for? What are people looking for? What do they need most? Were you going to say something? Okay.
Love, acceptance.
Love, acceptance. And the other one? It's love. Because you were made in the image of what? Of God. And God is what? Love. Sometimes you may see someone who is behaving very angry, very funny. They are crying for love. They are crying for love. It's a void that needs to be filled. Now, I cannot truly love anybody if I'm not willing to understand. Because what I just did is that I'll try to throw it down their throat by force. Yeah? Are you with me? You may love your coffee very black. I don't drink coffee. But I know someone that does. And I have to try to understand how to do the coffee. If you love it very black, and if I'm going to have hot chocolate, I like it very milky, very creamy, you know? So normally if I carry that understanding into coffee, what will I do? I'll make it creamy. But will that please the person that loves coffee black? And that can cause some disagreement for 2 days. Just coffee. It has not happened to me, but it can happen. Amen. Let's move on. Let's move on. I hope you got that. So there are two things you need to remember about abiding in Christ: is to abide in His Word, and to abide in His love. Now, to do that, you need prayer, and you need fellowship. Can I just talk about that a bit? There are some things in life that you cannot undo alone. God made it so. What did I say? I said God made it what? Can I prove it? God said it's not good for man to be alone. Now, I know sometimes when you read that you're thinking of marriage, it's more than that. Let me prove it. You see, if man in Genesis chapter 2, who is the meaning of the name of Adam. Adam means what? Man or mankind. If Adam was alone, will he have children? Will he have a family? So it's beyond just that you need to get. No, no, no. There are some people in life that will not be married. It just happened. Apostle Paul was not married. But what he achieved by being single, he could never achieve it. He was the greatest apostle of all. He wrote more than half of your New Testament by the Holy Spirit. So he's talking about, because God himself is a relationship. Do you know that? That God is a relationship. I know it must have baffled your mind that we have one God, but it's in three persons. Why? That shows that God himself is what? A relationship. Now, but God is a perfect relationship. There's no disharmony. There's no disunity. There's no competition. The way you worship God the Father is the same way you worship God the Son and God the Spirit. They are perfectly united, but yet they are distinct persons, fulfilling unique roles. And why did God create you and me? Do you know why? Because God wants a family. I need to emphasize this point. You came out from God. It's only your body that was made from the dust. And it will return there. Whether by death or by rapture. But I'm not planning to die. I'm planning to be what? To be raptured. I just want to be translated. Enoch. But when you're translated, yeah? That body will still be shed. But you won't notice. Because immediately you get a new one. It's not made of dust. Amen? Your resurrection body is not made of dust. It can't perish. Ever. It's immortal. But it's your body that came from dust. And that's why it will return then. But your spirit did not come from dust. Your spirit came from God. So forevermore, there's a part of God in you. And a spirit cannot die. Can you just as you say a spirit? Whether human or angels or demons, they can't die. It's not possible. Because it's God matter. You know, you cannot weigh a spirit. Can you weigh a spirit? Put it on the weighing scale. Like that. Oh, 10 kg. Your spirit, okay, I see. No. It's God matter. God matter is eternal. It can't die. So why didn't God just retain all the spirit within himself? Why did God have to release the spirits and give them some free will? Because God wants a family. And it is impossible to express love without free will. The same free will that causes us the possibility to sin is the same free will that enables us to love. You can't love a robot. I mean, you can like a robot. I know some young people say, I love my gadgets. They can't love you. You can love them, but they can't what? All the materials you love in this world, they can't love you. What can love you? People. You are made in the image of God. But that tells you that people loving you is even an imperfect model, because the real model of love is God himself. We borrow from him. Are you with me? God is love. And so, I'm coming back to relationship, that in order to abide in his word, you need fellowship. God designed it that you can't make it alone. It's God's design. He designed it that it is not good for man to what? Be alone. There are some problems in your life you cannot solve alone. You need a God-sent person to join hands with you. It doesn't mean you can't try. You try, but you just need somebody else. Not every problem, some problems. That's why we need fellowship. So abiding is what includes being part of the church, being part of a Bible study, being part of a prayer meeting. There's a process that helps you to abide well in his word and in his love. There are some things you can't do in love, loving people, except you saw somebody model it to you. So basically, there are some things that, you know, maybe somebody hurt you very bad and you're struggling to forgive them. Yeah? But it just so happens that while you're in that situation, you did something, you disappointed someone very bad. And you know what you deserve. People talk about what they deserve. I don't like to use that language. What you deserve is not good, if not for the mercy of God. Yeah? It's the mercy of God that makes us deserve, receive anything good. If God gave us what we deserved, there will be nobody alive. God will just start by judging your thoughts. Only your thoughts. No words. No, just your thoughts. And it's over. So, but you knew that you wronged them and you knew what you deserved. But instead of they giving you what you deserve, they gave you mercy and love. Now you've learned a big lesson in loving others. You can draw from that strength now and go back to yourself and say, if this person could, you know, forgive me so easily, why am I holding on to that little offense? So that's, again, what you learn. What in the atmosphere of fellowship, you learn to walk in love. If you're in genuine fellowship, genuine. Amen? I hope that God is speaking to you. In his presence, Psalm 16, verse 11, it says, in your presence, there is what? Fullness of joy. The Holy Spirit is speaking with someone today. You need to top up your joy. Life is stressing you. And you are lying. You can't cast. Don't throw away your joy. It's spiritual. It's a gift. is a fruit of the Spirit. It's not dependent. You see, one thing that the devil cannot take away from you. Yeah? He can take physical things that are within his domain. But he cannot kill your soul without your permission. What did I say? I said the devil cannot what? He can't without your permission. So what he does is he will pressurize you. He knows you are living in the flesh. Yeah? You know, the flesh is material. It's material. The devil can access the material domain. And he will pressurize you until you succumb, until you capitulate, until you give up. You know, like Job, he said, curse God and die. That was his choice. The devil cannot do that. The devil cannot destroy his soul, except he chose it. Refuse. So when we say refuse, say, I refuse to succumb or capitulate to the devil. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. In spiritual law, he doesn't have the right to destroy your spirit, your soul. But he has the right to tempt and pressurize. But if you stay with God, God will come through for you. There's no temptation you are going through or you ever go through in life. God will never allow you to go through anyone that is more than your capacity. See, God may allow someone else to go through something tougher, but because God already figured out that they have the capacity for it. Yeah? We say, well, why does God even allow us to be tempted? Can somebody help me? Why? Why does God just allow you? Why God create the world? He created Adam and Eve, gave them a perfect garden called Eden. You know, everything was good. Day one was good. Day two, good. Day three, day four, day five, day six. And after all that beautiful world, God allows them to be tempted. What is loving about that? Anybody help me? Come on, church. We've done this many times in the past. Why did God make a perfect world and allow Satan to come in and tempt his most precious creation called Adam and Eve? Why? What is loving about that? God is love.
He wanted them to choose him.
Yes. Can you see choice? Choice is powerful. You can't love if you can't choose. Yes.
He gave them the freedom to choose.
Yes. You can't love if you can't choose. Yes.
Is it to see if they willingly obeyed his commands?
Yes. Choice again. You can't love if you can't choose. And you can't choose if there was no alternative. Amen. What does God want most from you? Tell me. What does God want most from you? Based on what we just said, what does God want most from you? Your what?
No.
Your what?
No.
I thought it was only your husband. Faith. You know, sometimes I could teach. In another day, I could show you that faith and love are twins. They work together. Your love will motivate your faith. And your faith, yeah, will work because you love. What is the opposite of love? Spiritual love. What's the opposite of spiritual love? No. Human love. The opposite of human love is hatred. You know, imagine you give yourself to someone, did sacrifice for them, and they rubbish you. You will just naturally. But spiritual love. What's the opposite? Come on, you know it. You know it. We taught it. 1 Corinthians 13. All the actions there. What's the opposite? It's selfish. You see. In spiritual love is always outgoing. Spiritual love doesn't focus on self. It focuses on the best interest of the recipient. even at great sacrifice to self. You see that? Spiritual love focuses on the best interest of the recipient. Spiritual love doesn't focus on what I want. It focuses on what will bless the other person. It's not selfish. Now, the reverse is what I want. What I feel like. I am feeling. You know, who stole my song? who wronged me? Self. So I say, to abide in Christ and to walk with God, we must give up the pursuit of self. It's anti-logic. Because ever since Adam and Eve fell, yeah, all they want is survival. Yeah? Survival makes you selfish. To survive, to compete, you want to be better than someone, yeah? You want to do more, you want more. It's selfish. And based on selfishness, every evil is possible. I feel like having something, and I know that it's illegal, it's immoral, but I feel like having it. I feel that if I have it, it will make me feel good. Selfishness. All evil comes from selfishness. All. I have not found one that is not based on selfishness. And that means that to remain in this law, yeah, I have to give up the pursuit of self and rather pursue God. Now, when you do that, it feels like, oh, I'm going to lose out. But it's not true. Open your Bible to Matthew 6. Matthew 6. Let me see how we're doing with time. Yeah, I think we'll be able to round up in another 2 to 5 minutes. Okay? Matthew 6. You need to get this one. You don't want to miss it. It's a good cake that I baked. I don't know how to bake, you know, the physical cake. But spiritual one, I will bake you a nice cake. When you leave here, the taste will still remain in your spirit. Matthew 6, are you there? You know it, but I just want to take you a bit deeper today before we finish. Matthew 6. And let's read from verse, I think that will be the last place I will open this morning, afternoon now. Let me just make sure we have the verses I want. Matthew 6, verse 31-33. Matthew 6, 31-33. Now, who has not read today? Come on, let me go to the Muslims. Come on, any of you? Matthew 6, 31-33. You, yes? What version do you have? Yes, that's good. Good. Go for it.
So don't worry about these things, saying, what will we eat, what we will drink, and what will we wear? These things dominate the thoughts of unbelievers, but your heavenly Father already knows all your needs. Seek the kingdom of God above all else and live righteously, and he will give you everything you need.
Amen. I just want to I'll break it down in a way that you understand that we finish the sermon. The key word for me there is this. Now, I will say this, but you can see how hard it is for you to believe it in real life. He said, your heavenly Father, who is love, already knows your needs. Now, let's take it to a way we can understand this. Now, if you have a baby, and you are their mother or their father, and you are loving, you're a loving mother, you're caring, you know their needs. You are committed. They don't have to beg you. You are signed up to the deal. Yeah? A baby doesn't have to worry if they have a loving mother. Of course, if you don't love them at all and you negate them completely, after a while, they will worry. Your heavenly Father knows everything you need. He knows everything. There is nothing you need that he doesn't know. Say, there's nothing that I need in this life that my heavenly Father does not know. Amen. But in addition, he also knows your wants. Your wants may overlap with your needs. but they may not always overlap. You may want something that you don't need. And God can give you, provided it won't destroy you. But if there's something you want that will destroy you, God has no obligation to give it to you. Because if he did, he won't be a loving father. Can you follow me? And that means that when I'm trusting God and praying, I should be open to the Holy Spirit. Let him talk to me. Don't lock up your mind and say, if it's not going to be this way, it's not going to be any way. That's selfishness. Amen? Be open. Now, he now tells you the key to meeting your needs. He said, look, seek the kingdom and his righteousness. Let me try to break that down in a way that you understand. Seeking the kingdom and righteousness starts from maintaining your relationship with God. Tell him what you need. Tell him what you want. But be open to what he has to tell you. See, how does God speak to you? It starts from your conscience. Your conscience is the voice of your spirit. Yeah? Your conscience is not the same as your head. Your head may want something, but your conscience may warn you. Your conscience is like a traffic system. A light system. Red, orange, or yellow, and green. Yeah? When you are sensing red or orange from your conscience, yeah? Let your prayer, yeah? Let it not be banging God and say, I must, I want, and if you don't do it, I will deal with you. No. Begin to be open and say, Lord, show me anything I don't know. Because when you're doing that, you're seeking, you're putting him first. You're seeking his will and his righteousness. And how does God add your needs to you? He will give you wisdom. And he will give you favor. Like I said before, there are some problems you can't solve on your own. There are some needs you can't meet on your own. There are some breakthroughs you cannot do by yourself. In your power. In your brain power. Yeah? But you may go somewhere, discuss your needs with someone, and God has put them in position to help you. In this life, you need what? Help. But you need God sent help. Because there are some people that come out to help you, but they will make your situation worse. So, it comes back to prayer. Tell God what you need. Tell God how you feel. And when you're doing it, trust God that he has the best solution. And when you've done that, open your heart and let God speak to you in your heart. He's not going to use a microphone like me. He's a still, small voice. Leading you whether you go to the right or to the left. Or, very more importantly, sometimes he tells you to wait. And wisdom and favor will come into your life. That is the enjoyable blessing. Not the one that you've ozzled and azzled. You know when you ozzle, you azzle. Do you get my wordplay? When you're ozzling, working so hard left and right, you will get angry with people. You will get stressed. Yeah? Follow what God is leading you, how he's leading you, and it will take you to provision of all you need. And it's not always just material things. Sometimes your needs are emotional, you know? Yeah, your needs are, you know, knowing the right thing to do with your life. He will guide you. Let's pray. I believe that God has spoken to you today. Sometimes I've stayed by myself, sometimes I've drifted off as the Holy Spirit has helped me. But most importantly is that you need God at the center. I know you are a believer in Christ. I know you are born again, but you have to stay actively connected, because this life you are living is God's idea before you ever existed. He has the idea, he has the picture, he is the one who is able to guide you through. Psalm 23, it says, the Lord is my shepherd, and I shall not want. He said, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. He said, what? Why? He said, because you are with me. You care. He said, God cannot leave you. If he did, he stopped being God. That means he has resigned. Now, it's for you to trust him. and to receive wisdom and favor, which is a God-sent help. He always does it. So, Father, we thank you for the blessing we have to abiding in Christ. We can bear fruit. We can have our prayers answered. We can overcome challenges and situations and circumstances. We can walk in righteousness. We can walk in love. We can be useful as vessels that you will use to touch others and bless others. Not just living a selfish life, but a life that is a representation of Jesus in the world. The way he came and helped people and touched people and set people free. And we pray that you will help us. That's the purpose of our lives. We are part of God's family. We are to live and operate with his love, with his word, with faith, with obedience, and be vessels that you will use to touch, rescue, and bless other people. So Holy Spirit, we ask you to fill us afresh today. We receive wisdom in every part of our lives. We receive favor in every problem area. Send people into our lives who will give us the right help that will help us to overcome. Thank you, Lord, because we will bear fruit. The fruits of Christ that will bring glory to the Father. For in Jesus' name we have prayed. And it just said, amen. Amen. Amen.